We'll open up the Bible, and it's something I always find fascinating. It's a pretty boring looking book. You wouldn't really pick it out of the shelf by what's on the cover, but inside is the words of life. So we take this Bible pretty seriously. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 13. I'm going to talk about hope. So we'll just open up with this scripture here, Proverbs chapter 13. It's a little favourite of mine. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, is it a tree of life. So, of course, there's two parts to this. First part, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but then when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. And I've heard in testimonies there was hope there, and it was deferred, made the heart sick, but when it came, it was a tree of life. And as Spirit-filled Christians, hope for us is inborn. It's like an instinct. We can't help but have hope. It's something that wells inside us. No matter what's going on around us, we always have this hope. And so that's what I'm going to try to bring out now. Before I came to the Lord, I used to discuss with this mate of mine that animals have an instinct that drives them to amazing lengths. You know, birds fly across the world. They're just driven by instinct. There's no knowledge there. Whereas human beings, we're not generally driven by an instinct to that extent anyway. But I was thinking that an infant has a driving instinct to walk. That as they grow, they just want to walk. It's inbuilt, it's inborn. And a great example, who here has heard of The Simpsons, the TV? Yeah, you've all heard of The Simpsons. There's little Maggie Simpson, right? Whenever she tries to walk, she walks and goes, flat on her face. Right, she gets up again, walks a bit, flat on her face again. Like, but she has that inborn instinct to walk. And no matter how many times she goes, flat on her face, she gets up and wants to walk. She has that desire to walk. And as walking is to Maggie, hope to us, it's just natural. And so we go through life, we have this hope, and it seems things are going okay, but then we fall flat on our face and we think, oh, what's going on here? But we have that hope that remains, and so we get up and carry on. And we hope for things as well. We hope for things that are in line with what God's promised. And that can happen as well. Like, God's promised things. He's promised healings. He's promised provision, deliverance. At the start, he promised the Holy Spirit. And we might be seeking these things and we have this hope, but then something might happen, fall flat on our face. Think, oh, what's going on here? But we get back up again and we have that hope. So I'll bring out a few examples. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, it's about David, and David had this hope. His hope was in line with what God desired. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to God's chosen place. He knew that the Ark of the Covenant belonged in Jerusalem, so he had this hope to do that. So I read a few scriptures here. There's a bit of reading today. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 6. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab and Uzzah, and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God, with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And so it's a time of rejoicing. Yes, we're doing the thing that God desired us to do. His hope was being realized. Verse 9, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before the Lord. So he wasn't allowed to touch this ark. And David was displeased, so he got angry. That was his reaction. He got angry to the Lord. Lord, I am doing what you desired here. Why did you do this? What's going on? It doesn't make any sense, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. But so the initial reaction was David was angry, but then he humbled himself in verse 12, and David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? What am I supposed to do? He was walking along and flat on his face. What do I do? You know, I don't know what I thought I was doing what God required of me. And in verse 13, so David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside. So he put it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. So he put it aside and he decided to wait. See what the Lord requires. Wait for the Lord to do things, and maybe over time find out what he did do wrong. But obviously that did happen. He sought the Lord. The scriptures clearly outline how the ark is supposed to be carried and how to be succeed in this thing. So chapter 15 and verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. Verse 12. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. So they're doing things as God commanded them. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So there's joy here. Again, there's joy that that hope is starting to be realized. And verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of cornet, and trumpets, and cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. So his hope was realized. When the hope is realized, there is great joy. It's like a tree of life. And so the ark is now in Jerusalem where it belongs. And so all of Israel rejoiced with singing and playing lots of music and with great joy, because that was realized, that tree of life. Another great example is Caleb. So turn to Numbers chapter 13. Now Caleb's hope was to enter his rest. At this point, he was 40 years old. So Numbers chapter 13, he was 40 years old, as we'll read later. And he'd spent all his time in Egypt, in hell really, under slavery, knowing that God's promise was to send the nation of Israel to a promised land. And he was working away in Egypt. Then finally, they get out of Egypt miraculously. So Numbers chapter 13, and then the Lord says this to Moses. So Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So sending 12 people to search out this promised land, to have a look and see how good it is. So he sends out these people and they search through this land. Caleb is amongst them. And verse 26, And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. So Paran is pretty close to the Red Sea, so they've only just crossed the Red Sea, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto this land, whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the giants. The Amalekites went dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. So as a leader, he stood up and stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once. So he can't wait. He can't wait to grab hold of this hope because he knows God's promised it. Let's do this thing and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. So you can imagine how Caleb's thinking. He's thinking, Great, he's fallen straight back on his face. What's going on here? My hope. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt, return to the slavery. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. What's going on here, you people? And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. So that hope, they haven't lost that hope. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. The defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So go over to verse 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. So this is God speaking. He's pretty annoyed. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Verse 26, And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye will not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said would should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it. Unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there shall they shall die. So can you imagine how Caleb's feeling here? Caleb's saying, oh man, what's going on here? I could have realized this amazing hope. Now, how do you think he was when he went home to his family? I think he was laughing and saying, huh, funny thing is, I searched the land, it's an awesome land, huh, but the nation of Israel, they rebelled and we can't go there for 40 years. I don't think so. I think he was furious. He really went home to his family and go, what? 40 years? Lord, I'm 40 years old already. That means do the sums. I'll be 80 by the time I get there. How am I supposed to enjoy the land? How am I supposed to sit back, have a few bit of cattle and sheep, maybe some vineyards and orchard? How am I supposed to enjoy? How am I supposed to enter my rest? I'll be 80. And then imagine the 40 years counting down over. Oh, my goodness. We've got still wandering in the wilderness. We're 30 years now. Wow, that's 10 years gone pretty quick. We've only got 30 years to go yet. I mean, seriously, like the hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Imagine how he felt all this time. And then I also considered, because before they entered the land of Israel, they fought a couple of wars. So imagine Caleb in there, like let's say he's 65 and he's fighting this war with a bow and arrow, and maybe there was a near miss. Maybe an arrow went close to him and he nearly died. Lord, what's going on here? Maybe I'm not even going to make this. You know, like this hope, I know it's the hope that I have is in line with God's promises. So what's going on, Lord? My heart faileth. But his advantage was God clearly articulated to him at the start, everybody else is going to die, but Caleb and Joshua, they'll make it. So he could refresh in his mind the promises of God. But I'm sure his heart would have failed over that time. Oh, yeah, and also the other thing that he never knew, I mean, unless it came by an amazing revelation, of course, but he never knew what God's plan was. He never knew that this time of the wilderness period was important. It was important for Israel to go through that as an example to us, to encourage us as a Spirit-filled people today, that we have our wilderness period here on earth. And he never knew that there was a greater plan. And so that can often happen with us as well, that there might be a greater plan that we'll just never know. We are pawns in his game. We're part of his kingdom. And he wants the best for us. But it's God. You know, God does these things. And we still hope, because our hope is in line with what God wants of us. So we'll turn to Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me. So he was 40 there. Just when he was sent into the promised land from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. So there you go. He didn't know that. 45 years ago, he didn't know the Lord was going to keep him strong. At 85, he's as strong as he was when he was 40. He didn't know that, but he just held on to God's promise. He still held on to that hope. Despite what he saw, he just couldn't help but hope. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So do you think that when his hope was realized, it was a tree of life? Do you think after all that time he held on to that hope, he had his plot of land, he sat back and he rested with his family? Was a tree of life? Was this wonderful thing that he was dwelling in the house of Israel that he hoped all that time was this tree of life? And he could enjoy it. The Lord had still, in his time, he gave it to him, but the Lord still allowed him to enjoy it. He was still physically fit to enjoy it. So the Lord provided. I did have another example about Hezekiah. Yeah, we'll go there. Go to Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. So Hezekiah's hope, and I mean, read on. He was 25 when he became king, and they're bits of rat bags before him. And you can imagine him walking around Jerusalem and seeing what was going on. The temple was full of rubbish. People weren't praising God. They weren't serving the Lord. And his hope was to celebrate the Passover with all Israel. That was his hope. And then he becomes king. So 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, so he was champing at the bit, wasn't he? He didn't decide to wait around. He had this hope. He was like, right, let's get this thing done. I'm king now. I can do this. Open the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So there's a process that's required in order for them to celebrate the Passover and for all of Israel to celebrate the Passover. First of all, they need to clean out the temple. Then they need to sanctify the priests and the Levites. Then they're going to sanctify all the people. And then they can celebrate the Passover. And the Passover was supposed to be celebrated in the first month of the year on the 14th day. So Hezekiah is thinking, right, let's get this thing done. We've got things to do here. Open the doors, in verse 3, open the doors of the house of the Lord and repair them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street, and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So he's instructed people to do this. We can read elsewhere. I think they took about 16 days to clean out all the junk. Verse 34, but the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. So they're going through this sanctification process. Wherefore, their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended. So you can imagine over all this time, before this instance where Israel was sinning, you know, there weren't enough priests. People weren't being trained to be priests. And so it says here, the priests were too few. The Levites had to come in and help out till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. And this is an important point. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. So the way I read into this was Hezekiah had this desire, had this hope to do this thing, but the priests were letting him down. The priests were lackadaisical. They weren't upright enough to get onto it. They didn't see how important this job was. They weren't upright in heart to sanctify themselves. So he's, in a way, there's disappointment there, like, flat on my face. Right, let's get up and let's encourage these people to do this thing. Verse 35, and also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. So there you go, time is of essence. So it's going well so far. We've sanctified the temple, we've sanctified the Levites and the priests. Chapter 30 and verse 1. I'll read it first. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. So inviting all of Israel now. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Now it doesn't outline here, but the Passover was supposed to be done in the first month, the 14th day of the first month. So obviously because the priests were a bit lackadaisical, there wasn't enough time, they missed the first month. So I'm not sure, I'm looking into it, of course, a bit of license here. How did Hezekiah feel when he missed that first month, that 14th day of the first month? Like, oh, what? I've got to wait a whole year so I can celebrate this Passover. Great, you know, I really want this thing sorted out. But it turns out, reading the scriptures, that's why there was this meeting of the princes and so forth. It is actually outlined in the scriptures earlier that if you miss that first month, you can celebrate the Passover in the second month. So therefore, the hope comes back up again. There's that disappointment at the start, but you get up, you search the scriptures. Yes, I've got this hope. We can celebrate the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, i.e. the first month, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. Verse 4. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they're happy. We've got a solution here. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such short as it was written. So therefore, there's been this dearth of praise for the Lord. Verse 13. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them in the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover. So finally, praise the Lord. Part of the hope here. We've got the hope. We're killing the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. So these people that were slack, they didn't follow Hezekiah's instructions and they didn't have that zeal, that hope that Hezekiah had. They felt ashamed. They said, oh no, we let the Lord down. But it's okay, they sanctified themselves, they brushed themselves off, and they carried on with the Passover celebrations. Verse 16,